Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Placow. What's up, Joel Pearl? Welcome to Tim and Joel. Call it in the ring. I don't know why I welcome you to the show after saying your name every time.
You were Joel today. Now you are Tim.
I messed up. I had to do the other side. It's okay. Happy Daddy's Day, Daddy.
Yes. And happy Father's Day to you. It's your first. It's my first. To the rad dads out there, a very happy one. If you're someone's you know, father figure, well then happy day to you. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope it's a good day. We got a lot to talk about.
Ooh,
we
have Cody Rhodes, a lot of people's father figures. I feel like
that's true.
Shout outs on the internet. So
I mean, there was a guy who showed up on SmackDown who was father figured to a whole lot of guys, but now we're in this together, Tim.
Big Daddy.
Basically, he basically held everyone hostage and said, "Ugh, together forever.
You're never getting rid of me, brother."
Oh, that's a different guy.
Also, that was a merger.
That was a brutalization of.
Well, first of all, let's before we get all the plugs out of the way, where are you?
Mexico.
You were there for Triple Mania.
Triple Mania. My Spanish sucks.
It's okay.
It's been a hard weekend. Out here on the beach.
I'm half expecting.
Are they in a beach? Or are they in Mexico City?
They're in Tijuana.
Okay. It's Tijuana coastal.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's hard life.
Close to LA.
On the beach. Yeah. I know. That's close to LA.
I think they're in Mexico City in October. So there you go. For the big show, the main show, the Paul White.
Paul White.
Clearly, you and I are in very rare form because neither of us are in our regular studios today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm living my best daddy life.
Oh my god, and the ice cream sandwich. Folks, oh, you got to understand, as much as Tim and I speak, we definitely don't speak about this shit. Oh, that's good stuff. All right, let's get the plugs out of the way before everyone's like, they're going to talk about wrestling or they're not going to talk about wrestling?
Are we? I don't know. I can talk about whatever. I got this nice whiskey.
It's a beautiful day. We don't even have to talk about wrestling. We can just talk about everything else wrestling adjacent. Let's start with the thumbs up. Y'all can hit the thumbs up on the video. Get us all the way into that algorithm. You know how it goes. Leave a comment. And if you're hanging out with us, welcome. It's good to see you. If you're in the chat, hello. Subscribe to us here at Fightful Overbook because we're dropping content at daily and getting it all out of the way. That's always fun. We got an Overbook Discord. There's a link in the description. You can go ahead, join us there. We're pretty active. Mod Mike and Dan are always there. Mod Dan, I should say. Both of them are mods. Are fantastic. And they do the thing. They hang out. And we hang out, watch wrestling with y'all too. So go ahead, join us there. And finally, you can send us your super chats. We are self-funded, self-supported, self-funded here at Fightful Overbook. So go ahead. If you choose a super chat option, it allows you to have your question statement around the air. And also, like I said, supports Tim and I and our daddy daycare deals, because we have a lot of those coming up. It's that little dollar sign button on the bottom of the chat box on youtube.com/FightfulOverbook that lets you donate any amount and support us. Ask your questions, say your nice things, do whatever you want to do. We're just all hanging out today. It's a nice day to do the thing. Tim, where do you want to start? We've got so much. We've got Vince. We've got Sasha Banks. We've got, in case of emergency, break Brock Glass. We've got what's all the stuff going on AEW. We got Forbidden Door coming up. They've announced a bunch of random matches. Some are cool and some are kind of head scratching. What else is going on? Last night, Johnny Caballero showed up at at Triple Mania where you are, and he was Johnny Hardy, the long lost Hardy brother.
So it seriously was him who ended up pairing with Matt Hardy. I thought you were just taking.
Buddy, I was not doing a bit. Yeah. Right. I knew it was going to happen because that's what they do. Any chance to give Johnny Mundo, John Morrison.
He's really the Brock Lesnar of the Indies, is what I'm hearing. In case of emergency, call in Johnny Mundo.
But he doesn't show up in big time. You, that's the problem.
That's true. He just shows up.
He doesn't have NFL dreams.
He honestly just shows up and loses in most cases.
Well, now he does. It's kind of upsetting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Poor upset. We can talk about Madcap Moss as we always do. Mm. We're gonna have a lot of that going on. But where do you want to start? You want to start with the Vince McMahon stuff, because I feel like that has
that's the biggest stuff, I think. Yeah.
And it dropped at like 4 o'clock on a Wednesday. And yeah. I don't think anyone really expected that to happen because everyone else was talking about Sasha. And then all of a sudden, oops, let's take our minds off of this with a giant leak to the Wall Street Journal about this whole Vince McMahon, Johnny Ace thing. Now, you and I, we don't necessarily talk about wrestling from the business point of view. We leave that to a lot of different people. Mm. Instead, you and I usually talk about the creative side of things. We found out that while Vince has stepped down as CEO and chairman, he's appointed his daughter, Stephanie McMahon, to be the interim CEO and chairwoman, but he is retaining all creative rights.
The board did that, right? The board appointed her as interim.
Yes, the board did that, Tim. Yes, the board. The board, which consists of 80% shareholder and voting capacity rights, Vince McMahon, and Stephanie McMahon, who loves her daddy and cherishes him and worships the ground he walks on. Yes, the board did it. So that happens on Friday morning. We announced that Stephanie takes over as the interim CEO and chairwoman. And then like not 5 minutes later, WWE on Fox puts the graphic out. Mr. McMahon on SmackDown. And immediately... I got to give it up to wrestling Twitter, wrestling fans, who automatically their brains go into the most like out there ideas,
the meltdowns, and yeah, the like, oh, he's gonna do this, he's gonna do this, and it's like, no, he's gonna do literally what he's always done. Like, he did the equivalent of coming out and say, where you been? Like, it's Thank no you. Different. You did exactly what I expected, like exactly. Like, it was to the T exactly what I expected. And you know, everyone's gonna be like, oh, hindsight, but it's like, no, I just don't talk about this crap on Twitter because I don't care. But like, yeah, he came out and did what I expected. I went in and I was like, yeah, yeah. And everyone cheered him because, you know,
Maryland. Minneapolis. Yeah. You hear that, Minneapolis? You could do better.
Is what it is. Though. Like, you know, is any of this surprising in the slightest? No. Like, not at all to me. Like, I don't.
The most surprising thing is that he got caught.
Yeah, that the board, like, because again, it does seem like a captured board. It's not like, it's not a bunch of elected shareholders who are like very interested in the company's direction. Like, no, they're willing to give one man this much power after going public. Like, this, he still has such a massive share interest that, like, he can do what he wants.
It's his show. It's always been his show.
Yeah. And
if for anyone who expected him to show up and just be like, I'm stepping down. No, that wasn't going to happen. The man's ego was never going to allow him to do it.
You saw what happened at WrestleMania. Like, his son-in-law has a like massive heart explosion and he just goes out and shows him up the day he retires.
It's true.
Like, I don't know.
Old man Paul. Show him what it's like. Heart attack be damned. Yeah, it was not it.
And like, right. Oh, Vince McMahon spent money to have sex with an employee. It's not surprising, and it's nowhere near the worst thing that Vince McMahon or the WWE has ever done. If you're invested in WWE, you kind of know what you signed up for. I don't even think this didn't seem to rattle shareholder feelings too much either. Like, they were down a little, then they were up a little, but nothing. Like, someone pointed out they're down 0.5% against the indexes, and it's like, well, okay, that's not that much. Like,
it's also Friday.
Yeah, it was also like just another day, and it went against the indexes a little bit. Like, and then it was back up the next day.
Yeah, like, exactly. And again, I think that's the funniest thing when people try to talk about the business side of wrestling without exactly knowing what the larger side of business is. And we don't do that because we know our limits. But at the same time, I usually divert to the Brandon Thurstons and the WrestleNomics of the world when it comes to the business of WWE, especially what works, what doesn't, and what's really up and what's really down and what matters. Is the world on fire? Yes or no? In this case, it's not, because the Vince thing is going to come and go. It's going to pass. I know a lot of people are saying this is the biggest threat to his legacy since the steroid trial, but probably not. Unless they unearth some massive, massive stuff in the investigation, nothing's going to happen. And especially with Stephanie at the helm, that's just going to, nothing changes. She's going
to, you immediately install a woman, which makes sense. That's the right move to do. They had to put a woman in interim position. His daughter is there and, you know, willing to do whatever it takes to please daddy. So,
also just taken time off, which was,
I know,
I felt brutal. A little bad. It's like, well, whatever. I'm stepping down to go on summer vacation and enjoy life with my kids. LOL, JK, coming back to work.
She's a person with her own ability to decide, and she made her decision. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. The family business.
Yeah, like, and she did happily, eagerly, after they kind of sort of like made it sound like she wasn't that great at her job, even though by all metrics, I didn't see a whole lot of verification on that either. I just saw more Twitter grumbling. So,
yeah, it felt like that Business Insider piece was a bit more of a hatchet attempt that people were like, not really. Like, is she amazing at that job? No, but is she really well liked? Yes. Like, Fightful Select reported a whole bunch. Sorry, Fightful Select. I'm having a day with the words. It is not pluralized. Fightful Select reported about Stephanie McMahon being in charge in the interim and how talent were saying, like, this is great. People like her as a human being.
Which,
like,
is,
she clearly has some sort of human empathy, regular person traits that her father never had, or at least like never.
Never
really showed.
Even Vince is charming in a way, right? Like, you saw him do that McAfee podcast, and like, lots of people love that stuff. They eat that stuff up. To me, he comes off like a jackass, because I'm going to, by default, dislike any billionaire. Like, there's nothing they can do. No philanthropy they can do that I'm going to care about. Like, they're all evil. Like, you don't become a billionaire without being evil, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever, but he is charming. Like, I can see why a lot of people, like, loved it. You know, you put him into a favorable position, and I can see why rich people like him. And I can see, like, that's the better part of being a CEO for a public company, is just keeping the rich people's feelings all good and soft. And he did a damn good job of that. He did a good job coming out, popping the stupid rating by just saying, I'm going to be on SmackDown the same day. He's not going to address the allegations. He's not going to do anything like that. He's going to pop a rating and show the business is strong. And that's all that rich people care about. They do not care about the impropriety. The people who are invested in the WWE do not care about a whole lot of moral concerns, considering the amount of awful moral quagmires that WWE has been a part of.
And the fans who are there are going to react favorably to Vince McMahon, because
the fans of WWE, for the most part, are not concerned with moral quagmires, given how many issues the WWE has had.
They're also not, they're not listening or watching Wall Street Journal, you know, articles.
That's for sure.
They're not watching CNN. They're not watching Jake Tapper, you know, react to the idea that Vince is going to be on SmackDown, being like, of course he is. Like, stuff like that is as hilarious as it is to people who watch the business side of wrestling and the reactions of wrestling. Like, we're one in a million. Like, we're small fish in a massive pond.
Very, yeah, like, this is the minority, y'all.
we're not at the shows, and we're not going to convince people at the shows. So it's funny, I said on Twitter, I'm like, SmackDown's in Minneapolis, no one's going to react negatively towards Vince. There, I can think of literally three people whose names I put in it, and that was Kelly, Wade, and Jason. And I'm talking about Kelly and Wade from PW Torch and Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. I wasn't being a dick. I was like, there are three people who are going to be in attendance tonight who are going to be the ones in the know. And everyone else there is just going to be a fan who is there to cheer Vince McMahon because the great leader is here. And then I got a DM from Kelly being like, I think you're wrong. And I'm like, DM me in 3 hours when you're at the show and tell me that. And he didn't DM me back.
No,
Kelly, I love you. Like, you are a friend. I'm just letting you know.
I don't know if you've listened to the music of beloved Minnesotan Prince, correct? I don't think he would have an issue with what went down. Like his lyrics seem to suggest he'd also be there cheering if he were a wrestling fan.
He'd be partying like it's 1999 in his little red Corvette with a strawberry beret.
Nonstop. Yeah.
The so kind like you find at a wrestling store.
Yeah, like none of this was surprising, and it played out exactly how I expected, and I don't think it's going to be a big deal because I haven't read anything because I kind of don't care that much. I've mostly got it through Twitter and through you and just picked up a few things. I skimmed the Wall Street Journal article, but I don't care because this again was not in any way surprising. The main figure is $3 million. That was personal money, yes? Or was that company money?
It's gonna. I'm 99% sure.
We're not
it's
sure
personal
yet.
Money.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It was personal.
I'm pretty sure it's personal because the problem wasn't the money. That was the hush money.
It was I believe the problem
was the impropriety, and also the fact that she went from she got bumped $100,000 in her salary,
which that might cause him some troubles. But also, in the grand scheme of shareholder interests, that's a drop in the hat of the revenue of this business. So
your lawyer on retainer is Jerry McDivitt. I think you're okay.
Yeah. Like they hired a sex pest from Fox after Fox fired him. Like they don't.
That's care. Right.
This is not, this business is not like they're not a good place to work.
No, wrestling in general is not that. And I know people want to change it, but how much change can you really affect that, from that, what
like,
you
I don't
get?
I don't think AEW is the answer to that either. Like,
no,
they,
they're not.
They will have all of the same problems. The indies absolutely aren't. Like I see a lot of great wrestlers who we're on side with talking about people being scum at shows. It's not going away anytime soon. It's not as far as you think it is because people are coming from a place of we're all bubbled. We're all so bubbled. And you're based out of fairly progressive cities. Still sucks out there. Still sucks out there. Sadly.
The ones even based out of small towns. I mean, even the ones that are based out of big towns, it's still the same. It is how it is. And so anyway, we don't expect anything to happen with Vince. He'll be back. That's just the way it is. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. They did the Madcap Moss versus Happy Corbin last laugh match. It happened. It ended. Madcap got the win earlier this week. Our best pal Madcap was like, maybe I don't want to be the Intercontinental Champion. Hey, maybe this isn't the life that he wants. Mm-mm-mm. I think he's chosen a different path, Tim. The upgrade is happening.
Oh, it's not a PNG, you monster.
It's because I had to go back into my... I'm on a different computer today.
Yeah. That's it. That's the future, baby. I mean,
World champion, Madcap Moss. Let's do it.
I think it's coming because they got to build someone. They see the problem now.
Oh, you bet they do.
If you keep the man's name Madcap, he's not getting too big to leave. Like he's not gonna the rock you if you shackle him to that ball and chain Madcap Moss. He's not building a big brand off of that. Also, he looks like an attractive Steven Seagal. So I just don't think he's gonna make much of a career outside of the wrestling. So
I've never thought of it like that.
Well, it's mostly the ponytail and the jaw before.
True.
Before Steven Seagal, worse man than even Vince McMahon somehow, melted into the puddle that he is now.
Now, hold on. Let's move past the Madcap thing. So Madcap wins, moves on, he laughs, and that's it.
No. The whole audience is made to laugh because it's turned into an audience participation event.
But
that
that's
is
because
dreadful.
Pat McAfee gets a microphone and he's just, he starts ripping on Corbin. And Corbin is, dude, are these two going to have a match at SummerSlam? Is that what we're doing?
I hope so.
I'm all for it.
That match would be tremendous.
It would be.
If you think otherwise, you haven't been paying attention. Baron Corbin shows out every time. Pat McAfee, pretty good. I think the two of them work really well together.
I think so. I think that'd be a very fun match. I would enjoy myself. Meanwhile, it frees up Madcap Moss to be in the Money in the Bank and maybe win it, but we'll talk about that.
That would be excellent, actually. Yeah, I don't think he was, slated to win it, but given the current absences, perhaps.
I'm still on the fence, and we'll talk about why very shortly, because I think a lot of people, they saw the tweet, but we'll talk about it publicly in a sec.
A whale just went by.
Oh, that's okay. The whales are very noisy out of Mexico. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We don't need to talk about New Day versus Jinder Mahal and Shanky. I don't think there's anything
we
to
sure
happen.
Don't. What? So I haven't, I don't think I've watched SmackDown in a week or two. And Shanky dances now.
They call him the skyscraper and he dances.
Yes. To the dismay of Jinder Mahal, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Jinder Mahal's like, hey, this is my theme song.
Interesting.
And then he tries to hit on Samantha Irvin.
Oh, she's the ring announcer? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And she was all for it last week.
But not danced. So much. Not this week. Oh, Shanky hits on her. Got it.
Yeah, Shanky hits on her. I don't know if she dances.
So the turning Shanky face separate from Jinder Mahal. What will Jinder Mahal do after this?
I don't know what it is with the tall Indian talent. They have to do two things: name them after large buildings, and make them dance.
Also, make them kind of like
and make them Playboy bachelors.
Yeah, because if you look at NXT. Same thing going on.
Oh my God, Sangha. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking more of the fact that they did the same thing to Kali once upon a time.
I know.
And then he started dancing with Beth.
I know where your head was going.
That's where I was. But now, oh my God, they have to be a tag team.
It just proves your case. Gets worse.
Sangha and Shanky. Can we do that?
Put them together?
Put them together.
Let's do that. Bring them
and
up.
I see in the chat people are pointing out that Samantha Irvin is Ricochet's girlfriend, which is hilarious. And I did know that, but it's very funny when you take into account that 2 weeks ago they did Ricochet versus Shanky, and Shanky was hitting on her, and she was like, yeah. And Ricochet's like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Good stuff. Good stuff.
What else is going on here? I'm trying to go through my notes again. Baszler versus Rodriguez for women's Money in the Bank qualifier. Lacey Evans is out there. Lacey Evans is winning women's Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's a foregone conclusion. I don't think that's in question at all. Like they're building her for that.
The only person who could, you could have Rodriguez win, but it's not going to be Raquel.
It's not. That's not happening. No.
No, there's nothing like Lacey. They spent so much time on this Lacey build and then fumbled it and moved her back and forth between Raw and SmackDown. And now they're finally doing something with her. They're going to use her winning Money in the Bank as an opportunity to turn her. That's the best way I can do it.
Turn heel, you think?
Oh, yeah. The heel is always holding Money in the Bank, or should be.
True. Should be,
because the idea is that they're getting the championship by ill-gotten means.
Yeah. I mean, as mentioned in the chat, shame about Shayna. This match wasn't even long, was it? It happened pretty quick.
3 minutes.
Yeah, what the hell? Anyway, they take away her music that was slightly better Muzak that was at least catchy, turn it into something that is unbelievably forgettable. And she goes out there and jobs.
Shayna, honestly, like you said, she's fodder, but she's going to have a match against Ronda. She's going to have something because her and Ronda are friends, and Ronda will always go to bat for her friends.
Yeah.
That's just the way I see it. They did a Riddle promo at the beginning of SmackDown. Did you see
it? Yes. Yeah. The one that was just like, I love you. It was a love letter to Randy Orton on behalf of the WWE. Like, they just shoved those words in his mouth, and it felt so awful.
I'm challenging for the title, but I love you, Randy. And I'm like, you're challenging for the title. Maybe make that the point of the promo.
No. The point of the promo was, hey, you know how cool Randy Orton is? Wouldn't it be great if Randy Orton wasn't hurt? Then we could put Randy Orton in matches, and then SummerSlam would be fun. Anyway, Riddle's going to lose tonight.
So Riddle and Reigns have a good match. It was a long match, and it was a very good
match.
It
was a great match. Like, great match. That as everyone has pointed out, the 2.999s, they were pretty close. But, you know, in my heart of hearts, I knew deep down that there's no way in hell Riddle's getting strapped up.
So I'll give JJ this. A love letter to your partner is much better than can they coexist? Yes. I will agree with that wholeheartedly. It's still wacky as hell when the guy's going for the WWE Championship. Like, he's going for the main singles title as a revenge plot for his best friend who was taken out by the tag champs. Was just like,
to their credit, is in character for Riddle specifically, like, which they stumbled into this making some kind of sort of sense. Yeah. The problem is, like, the writing for it specifically kind of didn't sound like Riddle. It sounded like the WWE backstage. Like, that's what it sounded like. Which they could have, some small tweaks, I think, would have gotten them there. It was just like, you know, it's WWE writing. So it is what it is. It made sense. I'm not really criticizing it that hard. Like,
they did a really good job building Riddle up until this past week. When they did that SmackDown, what they did on SmackDown for that opening promo felt really weird, especially after they just brought out Vince, and we already talked about that. But like all the promos that Riddle cut leading up to Friday were really good and very strong. A different side of him, a more focused version of Riddle that we don't normally see. I like that. I was a big fan of that. It was just that Friday promo was very very strange. It was like it was almost as if they just found out that Randy's injury really will include him getting surgery. And they're like, we should say get well.
We got to eulogize him.
Yeah.
Like, and again, this would have been fine if this was done 3 weeks ago, right? Like, I think this would have fit better earlier on when this feud first started, but. Yeah.
So Roman Reigns wins and he says, I said I was going to smash everybody. And I
there's no one left, which is a literal repeat of the exact same thing that happened not 4 months ago, back in April.
He's right. He's got no one left.
No, because they refuse to build anyone because they're afraid of The Rock.
So what do? We break glass in case of emergency, probably at Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. The Brock Lesnar farm phone was probably going nuts. He's got like that red Batman phone.
Oh yeah.
He's got the red Bat phone and it was just going nuts. And it was Vince being like, I need a favor. And Brock was like, yeah, I need money. And Vince was like, okay. And they wired up all the money. They brought it to Brock and they said, you get a match at SummerSlam. And he said, I don't want to work a traditional match. I want to work a walk-in brawl. So we're doing last man standing. Tim, there are three people in WWE that deserve a chance at a WWE championship other than Brock Lesnar. Do you know those three people? Do you know who they are?
No, because everyone's broken. That's what I get. He's lost.
No, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is one. No, he didn't lose the match. He didn't lose the match. It was a DQ finish.
No, but he lost like three times to Cody Rhodes.
Doesn't matter. Seth can come back. No, because listen, we're talking about in comparison to Brock Lesnar, who just waltzed in and got himself that match.
Yeah.
Seth can walk in, talk himself into a match because that's what Seth does. Seth is like my bottom tier person. Number two is Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley is up there.
They took him out of the Elimination Chamber. He never got a rematch. He's wanting that match. He's the other guy. And the third one. The third one is Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got knocked TFO during an episode of SmackDown. They never did anything about it other than give him the match against the Usos with Riddle. And that's it. That's it.
The state of Cody, things is
Cody's on the list.
Bleak.
But Cody's on the list.
Broken. Big E's broken. Like lots of people are broken, but
those three guys alone, you could have had those three guys step up and be like, Roman, I want my title. You could have done Lashley and Roman.
Okay. Drew's also like deserving of it.
Drew's getting a title shot at Clash of the Castle. So you don't need to give him.
You're right. You're right.
You don't need to give him an extra shot. So the idea here, Sheamus is a Money in the Bank. He's kind of redeeming himself, but I'm talking in the last 4 months, even 6 months.
Yeah, I think
you
right.
have people that you could go back to and be like, you deserve the title shots, not Brock Lesnar, who got beaten by Roman at WrestleMania and it was a clean as a whistle finish.
Yeah, this is nonsense. Like the Brock Lesnar go back doesn't make sense because he's just lost. Like it doesn't, it really doesn't. Oh, I'm coming back. Hold on. There we go.
You don't need it. It's fine.
Yeah.
But what do you do to make this match interesting? Like last man standing, just the stipulation is going to be like, okay, cool.
Which is like, is this going to be better than Roman versus KO last man standing? I think not.
I doubt it. And I agree with you.
What are we doing? What the hell are we doing? Like,
what's the point of doing this? And does this make anybody more interested for SummerSlam?
Again, it just doesn't matter anymore. Like the things that matter for them from a business perspective are the TV shows, because the live events truly are focused on just being live events. And you can kind of throw up whatever at this point because of the brand recognition and people will attend it. Like your attendance will stay strong, I think. It's just you're more concerned about TV ratings, which also kind of don't matter. You're more concerned about using the TV to appease the people who pay you money just to put TV on TV, and then you're going to create a couple of minutes of content that you can throw on YouTube where you're probably making bank. So
what's interesting to me is that any plans that I had to go to Nashville for SummerSlam, honestly, kind of washed away when I saw that play out. And I've been talking pretty openly about going to Nashville for SummerSlam, but now I'm just like, you want to know what actually renewed my interest in possibly going in August for summer, for I guess end of July for SummerSlam?
Corbin versus McAfee.
No. What actually did it was, and it's not Ric Flair's last match chat, so don't you even try it. Was last night at GCW, after Mox beat Tony Deppen, they finally announced Blake Christian versus Mox for the GCW title. And anyone who knows that I've been talking about how Blake Christian's been tearing it up in GCW and hasn't lost many singles matches. The ones he has, they were major opponents. So for him to finally get that match and doing it in Nashville, I was like, cool, that is a match I would love to see. But I'm not going to go all the way to Nashville for it. I'm just going to watch it on Fight. Like, I'm just going to go watch it on TV. Nothing's sending me to Nashville, and I love the city of Nashville. I would love to be visiting, but I just don't see a reason to go anymore because I just don't care about Brock and Roman 17. I saw Brock and Roman last year at SummerSlam.
Which, let me point out, you will watch mostly on a screen.
Well, I've been lucky in the past that people will get me seats that are pretty good. That I won't have to watch.
I mean, not just that.
Oh, because
it's a
walk-in.
It's a last man standing. Yeah.
They're
going to play around backstage, 100%.
Yeah, and that's just going to be what it is.
Like, they're going to revisit. They're going to revisit the success of Cowboy Brock driving large powered machines to mess with Roman and the family or in the bloodline. So,
what giant machine will Brock use this time?
Oh, it'll probably be very similar. Like, I don't think they'll use the cherry picker or whatever. They'll use like just a forklift, something dull. Now, I'm sure they'll bust out the
forklift,
golf cart, or the golf cart, or the golf gator. Yeah, you know,
they should do the Survivor Series 2000 finish with Triple H and Stone Cold, where he brings them up on the giant fork and then drops them.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Do that.
Oh my God, he killed Roman
Reigns. Nostalgia.
That's what we do. 22 years ago. Let's do it. Do you want to? We can focus over.
If you could gimmick a horse and just have a horse kick Roman Reigns, and that's how it ends, I would love it. Have Brock ride that horse.
You know what? Last night when I was watching AAA, and you were there because you're in Mexico, you may have seen that they brought out dogs for the opening segment.
Yeah, Yoke
and the
dogs, Scooby.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And the dogs didn't freak out. That's how you do it. I hope people are taking interest because AEW couldn't do it right. WWE has trouble bringing out the animals for the entrances. They got it right. Triple A got it right last night.
Dogs. I don't know why you need to involve animals in a wrestling show. It just seems so odd to me. Like, I don't know.
You just need more big dogs. I don't think the WWE has big enough.
Yeah,
dogs.
Yeah. If you get a guy who's got like a pit bull. as is like part of his gimmick, I'm into it, but not much else. Even an English bulldog, you know.
Well, I mean, if you watch the old pit bulls, and you know, watch the bulldogs, you can watch. What are we doing here?
Okay. I don't know. What's that? What else should we talk about? There's a lot. Sasha Banks got five.
Sasha Banks she's Schrodinger's wrestler right now. She's Schrodinger's WWE superstar.
Yeah.
She's both fired and not fired. She's on internal rundowns, but she's not on any. She's on the roster page, but she's not on internal rundowns. She doesn't have merch for sale, but she's suspended. Raj Giri from Wrestling Inc. said that she has been released. PW Insider said, I think she's not released. And then Wrestling Inc. was, I don't know. Nobody knows for sure. And I know that Sean and others are trying to verify everything. Raj is pretty good when it comes to his sources. He's pretty solid. I know a lot of people will call to attention things Raj has said on
podcasts. He's made some mistakes, as I'm sure everyone has. Like,
Raj has been around for a long time. Raj doesn't really mess around when it comes to getting the journalistic parts right. His opinions sometimes aren't great. I'll give him that. I like Raj as a human.
Same.
I don't always agree with him. I just don't always agree with his takes, but I like him as a human being. So there's that. What happens at the end of the day is going to be a lot of people are going to defer to Sean. And, you know, I say that as someone who works on Fightful, and I would agree as to what happens next. If Sasha does go, first of all, do you see her going? Secondly, if you don't see her going, what happens? If you do, what happens?
Oh, baby, you're asking me the question I want to talk about.
I know. That's what we do here.
So, I see a lot of talk on Twitter. Again, see, because I am a lurker, first and foremost. A lot of people talk about Sasha Banks. There are some insane stands out there. Like, people really love her. She's a good wrestler. Like, I really like her as a wrestler. I think she should stay in wrestling. that is my hot take for her career. Because I just don't, like, I see a lot of people like, she can do whatever she wants. I was like, no, she's not anybody. Like, outside, she is not a mainstream figure. She was a background actor, more or less, in The Mandalorian, who didn't get lines. Like, I guess she got a line, I think, on the second episode she was in. But, like, I don't think she has like a strong prospect of an acting career, because like, just from her wrestling promos, she's not, you know, she's not The Rock, who is also not like an amazing actor. He's an amazing action star, and like,
yeah, he's great at the action stuff.
Yeah, exactly, which is fine. Like, I don't see her in the same way. I really don't. And like, I don't know this woman at all. Like, I'm just going based off of like rumors mostly, but she doesn't seem like, yeah, like, I don't know. I am not obsessed with Sasha Banks. I can tell you that much. She seems fine. She's a good wrestler. Like, I like her in wrestling. Yeah, it's different opinions. Like, everyone's like, the world is her oyster. I don't see that. I really don't. But like, that's, yeah, it's all good. If you see it, then maybe it is, right? Because there are a subset of people who really, really love her in whatever she'll do. I'm not the type of guy who's going to follow her around. Like, I know Lana's out there doing some crappy action movies that I'll never watch. Like, different people do different things. Like, yeah. It's not for me. Sasha, I don't think her in an acting capacity would be of any interest to me whatsoever. Me personally. Because I saw her in Mando. She was fine. Like, she wasn't good, in my opinion.
People just kind of looked at it and said, oh my God, she's the best actress ever. And it's, again, the stands are
good. She didn't do much. Like, I mean, well, my wife works in film, and like, you know, I'm big like film and TV buff largely. I'm not a huge comic book guy. Like, I'm also not a huge Star Wars guy. Like, I liked Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I don't know where the hell they're going to go with it. I guess it got renewed. I thought the story was over, but I guess
not. Never over in Disney.
No, it's never over because it's bloody Disney. But like, yeah, I don't know. I think she should stay in wrestling, is my opinion. I don't think AEW needs any more talent to not know what to do with.
Yes,
so I don't know where she should go. I don't know what she should do. I think she fits in best with WWE, to be honest. But
go to Japan. Go to Japan.
That makes sense to me. I don't know. I don't know what women's
wrestling
is.
She trained in 2019 with Joshi a bunch of Pro? Japanese. Yeah. She did a whole bunch of stuff out there, and she loved it. And she's a huge Japanese wrestling fan. Like, no question. She's a huge like fan of Japanese culture. So for her to go, it would make sense.
Yeah, yeah, that works.
She won't get the money. Listen, she won't get that money.
No, which I think, I don't know. Maybe that's okay. Sasha in Fast and Furious 10. Yep. That makes sense to me. Throw her in one of those. I'll never see it. But I think the right people would be very excited about that.
Sasha doing Fast and Furious 10 comes with Snoop Dogg doing the entire Fast and Furious soundtrack.
Oh, that sounds like something that someone else would enjoy a lot.
I'll break in with a little news. Apparently, sadly, WWE referee, former referee Tim White passed away.
What the? Okay, different one. That.
Earl Hebner, not Earl, sorry, Dave Hebner. My mistake. Yeah. They're twins. Dave Hebner passed away. The report was a couple of days ago. We just found out that Tim White has passed away. Send love to his family, because Tim was universally loved. He was just such a great guy. Remember all those segments at the Friendly Tap when on Raw when they would destroy the bar? The APA would destroy the bar. That was Tim White's bar. He had ownership in that. So that was a really amazing thing for him. He was one of the handlers for Andre the Giant. There's going to be so much stuff that comes out about Tim White as like a positive force in wrestling and just a great human being. Just finding that out via Sean and via others. So I just wanted to break in and say that because I remember Tim White was like just a wonderful referee, hilarious. They did a backstage thing. It's in such poor taste now, but when WWE YouTube was just doing skits, him and Josh Matthews did this hilarious. Now it's not funny at all, but at the time when we didn't think about these things, they did a whole thing about Tim White being depressed and trying to kill himself. Oh, fuck. Okay. I'm sorry. It's really like, I don't want to make light of anything like that, of depression or suicide, anything like that. They made it over the top and campy.
And I'm sure that the way they did it is not funny, but I don't know. There is something to be said for laughing at the dark things in life. So,
and when I was a 14, 15 year old kid, it was just like stupid, funny shit. So I bring attention to it because honestly, like when I was a kid, it was funny. Now it's not.
I did the interview with Tom Talks Rubbish there, and I was talking about the reasons that I got into wrestling when I was a kid, and they aren't for good reasons. Like the WWE was not like what they were doing with the Divas had a big part in it. When I was a 13-year-old piece of crap. Like,
absolutely.
I'm not going to deny it. It's the reality that it's just like, yeah, it's a shame. And looking back on it, it's like, I don't think this was good for my development as a child. Like,
nope. That's how we got here.
It is. That's one of the reasons why I got into wrestling. So, you know, it is just a fact.
Regardless, we send our love to Tim White and his family. And we hope that, you know, people remember him for the good things. Cause he was largely entertaining, had some incredible matches as a referee. I think his last match was the Hell in a Cell with Triple H and I forget who, but it was maybe Jericho. And he ended up fracturing his wrist on a bad bump. And that was it for his referee career. So
really?
There you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty nuts. So anyway, let's, you want to talk about AEW for a little bit?
Yeah, we can talk about AEW for a little bit. Stuff you happened. They're building Forbidden Door, which is confusing and mystifying to me.
So you're not a big New Japan fan. You're not someone who watches.
I've watched very little of it. I think I watched one night of Wrestle Kingdom a couple years ago, and that's about it. Like, not for any particular reason, just that I don't have time to watch all of this wrestling. Like,
so you watched the opening hair versus hair match?
Yep.
You enjoyed it?
It was fine. It went as expected. What I enjoyed the most of it was Ortiz, right? My God.
Yeah, Ortiz was the one who got his head shaved.
I really loved that segment after the fact where he was just like, they're just like a man of his word, and he just looks like insane. Just like, loved that. Loved it.
The Fuego Sammy thing to me was kind of obvious, but it was still entertaining. I enjoyed it. I watched with you know what gave it away for the Fuego thing for me was the fact that his mask wasn't fully done up, and I was like, someone else under that mask.
Body type was also kind of a tell to me. Like, it was just like, they're fairly similar, but it was just like, that's Sammy Guevara. I saw his eyes, I was like, that's Sammy Guevara.
Like, he had to get that shit eating grin,
which, like, I don't know that I love this because now JAS is too big. Like, I don't
want... added one guy
and Tay.
They always needed a woman.
Did they?
I think so.
As the Jericho, do you think she's appreciating Jericho? All I'm seeing is her appreciating.
She's worshiping something else.
baby. Whatever. I still love the JAS. What I don't want to see is to have, my God, I don't know their names. Matt Menard and the other one.
Daddy Magic.
I don't want them to lose shine, and I don't want Daniel Garcia to get overshadowed by Sammy. That's all I want to see from this. Like, I like Sammy Guevara as a wrestler. I just don't like his gimmick at all right now. It's not for me because it's not interesting. Like, them making out, it's kind of funny that the crowd hates it so much, but like, I don't have strong feelings about it one way or the other. Like, it doesn't do anything for me personally. Like, I don't.
Sammy joining JAS really felt like they were just trying to add someone who was going to be absolutely nuts for blood and guts, someone who's going to do something stupid. because no one else on that whole list of people on the JAS side was going to. Maybe Parker, maybe Menard, but like
I don't know, the way that they bled for their, you know, street fight or whatever it was, of anarchy in their reign.
And I see chat saying Danny Garcia turning on JAS and joining Black Cult Club. I don't even want that.
I don't want that either. I don't want him with them because like he fulfills the exact same role as Wheeler Yuta. So I don't think there's space for him. And I think this is the best way to develop a character for him. Cause like him being like part of this boy band is funny as hell to me. And I think it's interesting. I would like to see them continue with him and have Sammy maybe just be in a background role. They can continue to have Sammy and Tay do their thing, but have it be like a thing tacked onto this. Maybe like there's just too many wrestlers in AEW, baby. Like that's it. It's tough for them to give everyone their shine.
Yeah. Let's move on. 20-on-1 Wardlow versus the plaintiffs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, until the end, this was excellent. This was the exact type of wrestling that I love. This like soap opera doesn't understand the real world, but writes it anyway. Damn it, is funny as hell to me. Like, this case is dismissed.
That was hilarious. And I was like, wait a minute. And
the People's Court music or whatever. That, yeah.
It's loved silly. It. I feel bad for Wardlow because coming off of the MJF stuff, he was not the focal point.
This was and then not he's, the right direction. Like,
but then, and we didn't talk about this, but he comes out with the interim promo that he cut, and he's like, I don't want to be interim champion. I want a shot at CM Punk. Meanwhile, the chance of you getting a shot at CM Punk comes with you being interim champion. So like, maybe that didn't work so well.
They put him at, okay. Well, what they've done is they presented Wardlow as this dumb wannabe man of the people. Like,
yep.
The Dusty Rhodes thing doesn't work for me at all with him because look at the man. Like, he's not Joe Everyman, buddy. He ain't out there plumbing and shit. Like, Dusty Rhodes believable as Joe Everyman.
Right.
Wardlow, like, no, buddy. Buddy. And then at the end, the American Top Teams thing where they bring out
Tyrone Woodley
Matt Hughes. Tyrone Woodley is like the guy, but like
Matt Hughes, who famously got hit by a train 5 years ago.
Like, it just that was pointless. I really didn't enjoy that. Didn't do it for me.
I think I mean was it the idea that maybe America's Top Team wasn't gonna go against Wardlow? I don't know. It was weird.
No, it was to cement him as Joe Everyman babyface, and he was, you know, a man. Where were they? Cleveland, like, or where Cincinnati?
They were in St. Louis.
Cher
was there.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I guess that's where they're from too. Tyron and Matt Hughes.
Definitely Matt. It was what it was. It was weird. I hope they do something more.
Well, I guess he's going through the TNT, yeah. So,
well, he said he wanted it. He said he wanted the TNT.
But now Scorpio's like a heel still? I don't understand. They can't
decide
that.
Yeah, Scorpio's a heel. He's just a heel.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't work for me.
The Sammy stuff really messed up how the TNT title sat. Now it looks like the TNT title is over a heel champion, period, end of sentence.
Yeah.
And Wardlow's going to come after him, and we'll see what happens. They did Ospreay versus Dax Harwood, and it killed the town.
So I don't know Will Ospreay too much. I vaguely recall him doing some cancelable thing, but maybe I'm mixing him up with somebody else.
No, like, you're right. There was a whole
people thing. Were upset about something. I can't remember what it
I
was.
I kept up on it for a while, and then honestly, there was so much stuff that came out about someone either I'm not gonna say lying, but some of the just some stuff being recanted.
Threw some doubt into it.
Yeah, there was some doubt. Yeah.
Anyway,
we're not here to talk about that.
He dresses like a bird. Right? That's his gimmick.
He's got a big
Will Ospreay is an Ospreay. Like, is that the joke?
That's the joke.
He was good. He was a good wrestler.
He is. Like, IWGP was, US champion, Will Ospreay.
Again, like, I don't think New Japan is known for its deep character work. So, like, he's a good wrestler, which is good to know. I don't know him. Now I do. Another name to put in the back pocket of my brain.
And it's, listen, he is a good wrestler. He's entertaining. Yeah. He leads his United Empire, his United Furniture Empire, and
is he the leader of a faction? This guy,
yeah. New Japan has all their factions, right?
Do they all dress like birds? Are they named Birds of War?
Aussie Open are not birds.
Aussie Open, isn't he British?
Yeah, well, Aussie Open are the tag team. That's part of his thing. Aaron Henare is also not a bird. And Jeff Cobb is definitely not a bird. If he's a bird, he's a very large, thick bird. What large, thick bird would he be?
One of Jeff those prehistoric Cobb. Ones, you know?
What's the one with the big neck and the big stomach?
Like an emu?
Is it an emu? Yeah.
They are birds of war. They defeated the Aussies.
So. Jeff Cobb doesn't have a long neck, though.
Yeah, it's tough.
He's got no neck. He's got that. What are we doing? Anyway, sorry.
Will Ospreay is a bird. It's fine.
Tanahashi and Moxley do the face-off, and then out comes Chris Jericho, and everyone's like, please don't put them in the match. Please don't put him in the match. Please don't put him in the match. He's not in the match, unfortunately. I kind of wanted two-time AEW World Champion Chris Jericho, but no. Instead, he comes out, and he introduces Ty Conti and Sammy Guevara as the new members of the JAS, and then all of a sudden, Lance Archer, Desperado, and who else was there? Someone else came out as part of Suzuki Goon.
No, it was just Archer. It was just Despy
and and Archer, and it was not a good segment.
It was mostly Excalibur trying to fill in the gaps. Like he was frantically jumping around. Like, oh, this person's part of this. Like I was like, yeah, thanks, man.
I love it.
It doesn't make me care about it, but like, I'm glad he did it. I am appreciative that they are trying to explain what the is going on.
They were trying so hard. And Lance Archer, I love Jericho being like, these men are on loan to me.
Loan from Minoru Suzuki.
And I'm just like, Jericho, Lance Archer is at work with you every single week. Like he is in the building.
Such a mess. Like, and just trying to justify the crossover, which is like, you got to do what you got to do. They're there to sell live seat tickets, I think, right?
They're sold out. The show's sold out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's working. So like, they're just trying to justify it on TV and sell the pay-per-view, which like, I am buying it.
And this is a larger conversation where, if you're a fan of a product, that's great. But if you sell out the venue before the show even has someone's pointing out Great O'Con. Yes, we'll talk about him in a sec. But if you're selling a venue and you sell out the venue, you sell out the show based on nothing announced, you can't really be upset when the card isn't up to your standard.
Are people, is that the vibe?
It's not really the, well, I wouldn't say it's the vibe, but there are certainly people who are like, this isn't really what I'm enjoying. I'm not looking forward to this as much as I was. Maybe when I thought that, because again, wrestling fans, people get in their heads that it's going to be the biggest show ever and all this
stuff. You played yourself in that case.
Which is common. Yeah, yeah. It's true. But the point is, you know, this is another choice where some people are going to be like, I don't really want these tickets anymore. Because what do? They announced it was going to be Kingston, Shota Umino, mm-hmm. Shooter, and Wheeler Yuta versus Minoru Suzuki, Sammy Guevara, and Jericho. And like, does that really do it? We're still waiting on Danielson versus Zack Sabre. That's the triple.
Okay.
The six man, the trio.
Okay. So that Moxley thing was in service of promoting that, but only tangentially because it's Mox versus Tanahashi.
Yeah. Mox and Tanahashi is the match. And then they set up a six man with that weird beatdown segment. And then on Dynamite this week, Mox and Tana are doing a Can They Coexist to take on, I think, Jericho and Archer. So that's the thing. Yeah. And then, yeah, you've got Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr., but we don't know yet if Danielson is actually cleared to wrestle because he was pulled from an event a few weeks ago after
the leg thing?
Maybe a concussion thing. No one's for sure.
Oh, no.
And the problem with concussions is that it's not a 1 to 2 week thing. It is a week to week thing, month to month thing. Wait and see.
Especially with him specifically. So.
Yeah. So like it's tough. Yeah,
he's kind of in that Eric Lindros situation now at this point. So
yeah. It's tough. So as much as you want to see Danielson and Zack Sabre, you can't announce that match and then not give it up. It's just what it feels like to me with this Forbidden Door show is that they're trying to make it not too big, but big enough. Because you have, if you do three nights of Wrestle Kingdom again, I would just make the third night Forbidden Door in Japan.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the show I would do. Or you make night two of Wrestle Kingdom the Forbidden Door show.
Yeah. I mean, we got, okay, so one of the other matches was Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay. Is that
for the IWGP US Championship?
Okay, yeah. That sounds fun. I don't care about the story for that because I don't know Will Ospreay, but I think that that would be an entertaining match to watch. So
they added a winner-take-all match for the IWGP and ROH Tag Championships. You've got Roppongi Vice, Jeff Cobb, and Great O'Khan, who are the IWGP Tag Champions, against FTR, who are the ROH Champions. I mean, FTR holding the IWGP Tag Championships is a pretty cool thing to do.
A third set of belts for them? Sounds great.
A third set, but a second set, because they're not talking about the AAA tag titles that they've had for a while now.
They wore them. They wore them out on Dynamite.
They haven't worn them. No, not this Dynamite.
Wait. No, they had two belts, didn't they? They had waist and shoulder. I thought so. Maybe I'm crazy.
Maybe I think you're crazy.
Either way, Excalibur certainly talked about them being the AAA tag champs.
And they did, yeah. They're doing Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa, and
which
then you know what?
Seems what are they? Oh, Tony Storm is
a former World of Stardom champion. Okay. So at least they're trying to build that. And Thunder Rosa is about to go to Japan for Tokyo Joshi Pro in the summertime. So like they're trying to make it make sense, and that's fine. There's a Stardom pay per view that day. Blah blah blah. I know. I've seen all the stuff. I'm looking forward to Tony versus Rosa. That'll be fine.
Yeah, it sounds like a decent match.
It's the card. I think the card versus the expectations have skewered again.
Doesn't affect me because I didn't care. and I'm like, I'll watch the pay-per-view maybe, like after the fact. I'm in no rush. It's fine.
What's frustrating is that there's a bunch of stuff that they're going to have to figure out on Wednesday to tie everything up. But it should have been stuff that they've had tied up since. And this is their first time doing a 4-week build.
Yeah.
They've never had to do a pay-per-view and then a 4-week build and then a pay-per-view. They're finally trying to figure out what that looks like. And it's definitely very painful for them. You can tell they're growing pains. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know what to expect for the rest of the card. You've got the 4-way for the All-Atlantic Championship. I really expect it to be Miro, Ishii, Miro, Ishii.
I wish it was just them too. That's
I know,
like
but it's
match.
It's four way.
Yeah.
Miro, Ishii. Oh my god. I think it's gonna be not Penta, but House of Black, Malakai Black, and who else was in that stupid match? Pac,
yeah.
So Pac, Miro.
Yeah, you gangly
Ishii.
You gangly freak, or you gangly weirdo or something.
Yeah, it'll be fun. But it's going to be like these four guys just beating the shit out of each other. It's going to be great. And I want Ishii to win that All-Atlantic Championship.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the guy.
Him or Miro,
that's true.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, listen, for the rest of Dynamite, it was fine. They did the Jay White show up, and he's like, nobody's going to win.
I'm a dick.
Nobody's facing me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Then it started a whole rumor mill about Kenny, and I'm like, oh, it's not going to be Kenny.
It's still a while for him, I think.
I think Kenny's got some... I think Kenny's got some stuff to work through first.
Yeah.
And then finally, perfect. Let's talk about the ladder match. Talk about the AEW World Tag Team Championships.
You mean the TL match?
The TLC match.
No.
They had chairs at the end.
Chairs at the end. Post match.
Yes.
TL post PSC.
Post all the acronyms.
Yeah.
I don't know what Miro has to win because the G1 has to do with anything because he's not doing the G1, that doesn't really mean much to me. The G1 names came out and people were like, why isn't so-and-so here? Why wasn't this guy there? Why isn't this guy there? They're running shows on a Wednesday in Japan.
This is New Japan's tournament?
This is their big-ass tournament.
The big one. Yeah,
the big one that you and I have talked about.
Yeah.
And with the G1.
With the full-ass bracket, yeah.
Yeah, the one that you would like.
Yeah.
So Miro's not a part of it. AEW's representative is Lance Archer, and people love Lance Archer in New Japan.
Yeah.
So like, it's going to be fine. People who wanted all these big names from AEW, you can't do it like that.
They have to do AEW stuff.
Yeah, they have to go for AEW.
Like you've seen what happens when that happens. Like Yuta's away now, and it kind of mad out some stuff. Like it kind of it hurt BCC or BB
BBC
BCC. It hurt BCC, in my opinion. I feel like the sudden absence of Yuta was pretty noticeable. So like, you know, there's some give and take in terms of this with allowing, I'm coming back in a second. In terms of
Wheeler, Yuta was the pure champion and he was off TV for a month.
Yeah.
Ace Austin is the X Division champion and he was off TV.
Like, that stuff for a month. Sucks. Like, it really hurts your product, in my opinion. Like, I get pulled out of it. Like, what I'm a little bit disappointed about with this Forbidden Door stuff is that we're pausing kind of the grand narrative of AEW to in service of this. And it feels a little bit chaotic right now. Like, I am not enjoying the shows as much as I was before. Yeah. Because we're on a break, basically. Like, we're servicing a thing that I don't know about, and I don't have a ton of interest in getting to know. I just don't have the time to also watch New Japan. So
I like the statement. In the 90s, they used to send NWO Sting, Jeff Farmer, Buff Bagwell, Scott Norton. And it's true, they did. But also in the 90s, they didn't have a global pandemic that was still eating up time with quarantining and uncertainty as to whether or not they'll do another lockdown.
Yeah.
Like, there's too much at play that they can't just have people go back and forth, and they won't, like, they can't do it that way.
Yeah, it's not like a hop, skip, and a jump away where they're just on a jet to Japan, especially Japan, who, like, a little bit more rigorous. Like,
and by the way, my name is not Earl. Mercedes Martinez is ROH Women's Champion. She's been off TV. She's been on Dark Elevation, and I actually put this over. I know people point at the YouTube shows and, like, this is garbage. She's actually defending the ROH Women's Championship against independent stars, younger stars, and doing a really good job making the title mean something just on a different show.
Yeah,
I don't think she has to be on Dynamite, because I think if it's the Dark Elevation title for now, the women's title for that show, I'm fine with that.
Exactly. And, like, I would also agree, and I'm no big fan of Dark or Dark Elevation, but, like, Ring of Honor specifically, they don't have a TV deal right now, so this is a good way to, like, keep that in people's memory for the people who really do care. But it doesn't deserve a place on Dynamite. There's only, like, less than 2 hours per week, and there's so much talent. Like, you have to focus on your own title. Like I don't want to see Ring of Honor titles ad nauseum on Dynamite, because there's no real room for it. Like, it's hard enough as it is with the deep talent pool they have that they don't fully know how to handle. So,
and I see Andrew saying, I meant that they're sending pointless guys to Japan. They could do that, but again, I just don't think they want it. They wanted to make it make sense,
yeah,
to send people over, especially as first time AEW stars. But this time it just didn't work. So they're sending over the most popular New Japan crossover star that they can, which is Lance Archer, and he'll do fine. He'll have a blast. Anyway, let's talk about the ladder match real quick. The Jacksons, the Young Bucks, are World Tag Team Champions again. The story continues. If you take off a shoe from one of the Young Bucks, you lose the tag team championships.
They're magical shoes.
The magical mystery shoes.
I'm fine with this. I had no problem with this. Great match. A lot of table spots.
It was what I expected, and I expected FTR to get next. Everyone was like, add FTR to the triple threat. And I was like, no, don't do that. That's garbage. They don't need to wrestle in a ladder match.
I'm happy with this. I'm happy to have the Bucks as two-time champs. I don't think they should hold on to it forever.
Yeah.
But I think that the belts needed to come off Jurassic Express, because I just wasn't feeling it.
Do a real winner take all at All Out with FTR and the Bucks. One-on-one, no gimmicks, just those two.
That sounds excellent to me. Christian finally got his turn in.
Six months later.
It feels like real Julia Hart stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Christian versus Jungle Boy sounds excellent.
It does.
Luchasaurus sitting down for a little while sounds excellent. Love him in the ring. Love him so much in the ring. I can't stand that gimmick. Like, it's not for me. It just really isn't for me.
What if you turn Luchasaurus and he joins Christian Cage?
Yes.
And please, he's the new Tomko.
Do that. That sounds awesome. Yeah. Like, I love Luchasaurus as a wrestler. And he looks good without the mask, like when he was in NXT, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't think he needs that gimmick. Like, that's an indie gimmick where you're not telling much of a story, right? Like, you don't go out there and you don't talk, you don't cut promos, you go out and you perform for a live audience. It's a great gimmick for that. I don't think it's a great gimmick for TV. And I think he's got the chops to not do it. Like, he's not terrible on the mic. So, like, I don't know.
Well, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to what comes next. Forbidden Door is going to be an interesting show. You and I are going to Greektown Wrestling next weekend. That'll be fun. Yeah. We don't have to talk about that right now because we don't have time. We're out of time, folks.
I have to pee real bad.
Yeah, let's go. We got to go be dads and do stuff. So let's get out of here. Yeah, mostly use the bathroom. I'm going to be back on the main channel tonight after Slammiversary. Steven Jensen is sick. We hope he gets well soon. I'll be covering Slammiversary with Denise Salcedo. So come and join us after Slammiversary tonight on the main Fightful channel. Tim, where can the people find you on the internet?
People can find me at Tim Stone, P-T-I-M-B-S-T-O-N-E-P on Twitter. Again, mostly a lurker. I'll like your tweets if they're good tweets.
It's true. He does it all the time.
Big if.
Anyway. Big if. It's Fightful Overbooked, youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked or FightfulOverbooked.com. We drop content every single day. Will Luchasaurus cut his hair? Probably not. That'd be nuts.
I don't think he needs to do that. He's a good looking man with long hair. If he'd take off that stupid mask.
It's true. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. Happy Father's Day to the fathers and to the stepfathers, to the father adjacent people, to the good people. Have a wonderful day. And we'll see you next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.